Blaine and Mickey 104.5 The Zone. Happy Friday, everybody. What's going on?
Blaine, oh, yeah, Bishop, it's Friday.
Yeah, all day long. It's going to be Friday for us for the next couple hours. Blaine Bishop is here. Mickey Ryan is here. That's me. Lucas Panzica is here. Lucas is taking on this whole level of, now he's mad about something, Blaine. We could see him on Zoom here. Something's going on in the studio that's got him upset. But our man Lucas is becoming quite the celebrity around town. Let's just be honest. I heard a guy call in and was singing his praises from like Dixon today. I heard that earlier on the station.
That was my roommate, so take it with a grain of salt.
Fair enough. Oh, that was your roommate. Okay. But I heard that. So that was nice things being said about Lucas. Well, he's part of the top 20 finalists for the Titans PA job, dude. He's in the top 20. So if this was like American Idol or something, the whole world would know his name. Well, it's Titans PA Idol. So everybody in Nashville knows Lucas's name. I feel like we shouldn't get too attached to him at this point. He's like a big, bright shooting star, Blaine. What are we going to do when he totally outgrows our nest and flies away?
Well, it's a man of multi-talent.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So, man, a vast array of talent. That's pretty cool. It's unfortunate. You know, you win some, you lose some. That's how I take it. Well, but you're going to win more than you lose is where you're working, buddy.
This is a very talented show. There's a football player and broadcaster, a musician and a broadcaster, and then whatever the hell I am. Yeah.
I like the way you give me credit as a musician. Thank you. Thank you, Lucas.
But you were.
Yes, I was.
You're the only one that can play music on here.
Now, you say that. You watch. Like, Lucas can probably play the dulcimer.
Well, I've been taking some drum lessons, so I'm trying to join that club.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we have a guitar player then at the station. We got our man Joshua Clay, the traffic guy, and the wacky FM DJ. If you can learn to play the drums enough, I am a bass player. People don't know this. Blaine's a heck of a singer. I think we got a band put together here.
I'm in.
Yeah, you ready to front a band, Blaine?
I don't know that part about me being a heck of a singer. I was not very good when I sang, you know, 7th inning stretch there at the South. But I was a little overzealous, if you would say.
That's okay. That's okay, man. It's a baseball game.
It was supposed fun, to be. Though. It was great, though. How was your experience doing a PA announcing? I know you got knocked out, but do you think you learned a lot and the experience was well worth it?
Well, I don't know that I'm knocked out yet. They haven't cut it down
yet.
Still
going.
I might still be in it. We'll see. But no, I mean, it was so much fun. It was like one of the coolest things I've probably ever done.
Oh, really? What did you have to do? Give us one cadence they gave you to do.
Well, when you walk in, there's a camera following you the whole time. You're mic'd up, and they take you into the actual PA booth, and they give you a script. So, like, they do the lineup, right, and you do a bunch of plays from the Lions game. It was all from the Lions game.
Okay.
And they give you, like, some names to try to throw you off, like Oruare and Okuda and stuff like that. So, they give you the script and just kind of let you have fun with it.
Oh, wow. So, okay, it's a scripted. So you didn't know what was one of the lines? You don't have to say it the way you said it on the air, but I mean, just what you have to say. Like, give us one line.
Like,
he's got some audio, Blaine. You want to hear him? He's got some of his audition.
Oh, yeah,
it.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, I'm just putting him on the spot. He's got to walk across the room, but this is Lucas Panzica, part of his audition for Titans Stadium announcer right here.
Harold Landry, number 58 with the sack. It's 4th and 12 from their own 21-yard line. Derrick Henry, touchdown Titans.
Oh, wow. That wasn't too bad. Man, you just inspired me, man. You got heard the Derrick Henry one. Maybe I should have went in there. I didn't even know it was trials. I wanted to try out.
Scale of 1 to 10, what do you give me?
I give you about a 6.5. What?
That's fair. No, I appreciate that.
Wait. I'm going to justify it. Here's everybody just heard. Oh, this is good. And now, y'all can rip me again. Everybody heard Lucas's, you know, is announcing a Derrick Henry. I'm going to give you my version, and then I'm going to let Lucas grade me. Since I gave you a 6.5, he's looking like, yeah, whatever. All right, you ready? Uh-oh, what am I going to say? Set. Two-time NFL rushing champion from Alabama, the King, Derrick Henry. Now, what do you give me compared to you?
That was an eight. That was a solid eight. That had way more mustard than I had.
Right, and that's what I want to get to. You got to have that, and where was you different than them?
I should have consulted you before I did this.
Well, you know, one of my really trades that I used to practice all the time when I used to watch sports at home, and my mother said you can't go outside because it's dark outside, I would be watching and practicing with my own mic. I may even can find a picture of me doing this when I was a youngster. I wanted to be a broadcaster. I used to practice with NFL and NBA. I always used to NBA. I used to love that guy who used to announce Dr. J. Julius Erving. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. Man, I want to be able to do that. And then I couldn't do that. So, yeah. Hats off to Lucas, man. So hopefully you make it, and you know, that'd be pretty fun on the weekends to get to talk about some of your calls on Monday. We'll see. Would you still be doing that job? I didn't even think about that. Nope, you out. Titans, cut him out. We do not want another producer. Does it be like our fifth one?
Hey, no, it's only on Sundays. It's only on Sundays.
Oh, okay.
Or Mondays or Thursdays. Or,
yeah.
Oh, yes. But you can take off those days. Huh? Yeah, they're going to take off.
We'll figure something out.
They'll start moving these games all around the week, Lucas. That's what a story I read a few weeks ago. They're going to start pushing it around. So,
yeah, because you can't produce them anywhere. But you could just take days off if that happened. They had to do a weekday game.
I'll take a vacation day to go.
You would go to do that job over working with us. I know that for a fact.
No,
definitely not.
6.5.
John Fulkerson, like Lucas, is living a dream. We've been wondering what he's going to do. He is coming back. How many people do you know who ever said, boy, if I knew what I knew now and I could go back to college, boy. Well, John Fulkerson is that guy. 6 years. That guy knows everything about college. He is going back. Announced that earlier today. We spent a whole bunch of time yesterday talking about these new recruits for Rick Barnes and Tennessee Hoops. Fulkerson had this great video on social media saying he will return. It is year six for him. Awesome. He's got some company though. Blaine's got a 6'9" guy. You got a 6'11" guy. There's gonna be a bunch of dudes around him. A bunch of new faces for Fulkerson.
Are those dudes the one and doneers too?
Oh man, yeah. I'm talking about those one and doneers.
Yeah, I'm talking about those tall guys. He may lose playing time. But hey, you know, then it will, you know, kind of put him in a certain category if he still has NBA aspirations. He's one of my favorite guys to watch because we actually got to see him improve each and every season. And then to see the season he had 2 years ago and go, wow, I would have never thought he could get to this where, you know, he's kind of the focal point, you know, and the leading scorer. And then it was kind of a drop off whether he had COVID or not or whatever. I don't know, but he definitely didn't look the same on the court. But so he was, man, he's one of my, you know, favorite ones to watch. They've had some really good ones, but I think more so because of we saw him develop over each and every year and how he got better. A whole lot of strides. Because I used to think he was a goofy giraffe out there. And then he turned that into, man, this guy's NBA level. It was no question about it. So that was pretty cool. Got in the weight room, you know, and, you know, he improved a lot with the staff there with Coach Barnes.
He had 47 points his first year. He had 52 points his second year. He had 99 points in his first 2 years. Then he had 113 points in his third year. And then the year that you're talking about, he blew up 2019, 2020. He had 426 points. Yeah. And it's like, oh, my gosh, this dude, wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. So, yeah, him coming back is great. He loves Knoxville, and he loves, playing and being in college. So hopefully he gets better and sees how he stacks up against some five-star guys who are one-or-doners. So that's all what it's all about. Seemed like a great guy, though. So
yes, he does.
It was hard to even criticize him this season when he just looked different for whatever reason. So, I'm glad he's coming back. Cool.
It's funny. Every program just has its that guys.
Yeah,
that just guy. He's just one of those that guys for Tennessee basketball. I mean, he's just that guy, you know? We asked this question yesterday. It's before we knew Fulkerson was coming back. There's a couple minutes left in this poll we put out yesterday. Based on the current recruiting class for fall hoops, which we went through it yesterday, 4 stars, 5 stars. They're number 2 in the nation right now. That was before Fulkerson said he was going to come back. How far do you think this team could go next season? First round loss is still 32%. That's still the clubhouse leader. People do not seem to have a whole, as Lucas said, well, it's going to be some negative responses to this one. Well, there are 32% first round loss, 23% say round of 32, 27% say sweet 16, only 18%. And it stayed about right there, say elite 8 or higher. I wonder if people would change their thought a little bit to have Fulkerson's energy coming back to the team. Cause I think they're going to get a different guy than last year. Like you said, just who knows what it was. Got his face smashed in the SEC tournament. Didn't get to leave on his own terms. You know, this is – you talk about a motivated guy, a sixth-year senior in the place that he loves as much as John Fulkerson loves being on campus at UT. I can't wait to see what he brings to the table next year. But you're right. It's a lot of competition for playing time right now.
Yeah, which will be good ultimately for the team. But as far as him individually getting to showcase his talents, you know, just interested to see how that would all play out with Coach Barnes and what the emphasis would be on then at that point in time. And could he maybe just be a role player and then coming off the bench?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I mean, he could get to that level. It's all about timing.
And you brought this up yesterday. If you're going to bring in these 5-star, one and done type guys, you just got to put them out there and roll with them. That's what they're there for. Hey, man, you're going to play. We'll take our lumps early in the season, but by the end of the season, you need to be playing like an NBA player, a 5-star guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I, you know, more emphasis on whose role is what in basketball. Yep. Because, and I think, and I get it, old school mentality is like, nope, he's got to earn it. And you say, well, eventually he will be there. So just throw him out in there and let him ride and let the rest of the players figure out how they play around him. It's just the way it's got to be. And I think that's what really happened this season. And then the veterans thinking they're going to be the guys. They're not real, very vocal guys and Pons and Fulkerson, by the way. And so it just kind of carried on a little longer than expected. And that's why they never really got into a flow. That's why their games were always up and down, and then guys getting injured, guys on COVID. I mean, it just went on and on. So, I'm glad he's back. So, hopefully we get to see him finish the way he wants to and at least without getting injured.
Richard Williams, who coached Mississippi State to the Final Four in 95-96, so it's been a while ago. He was on the Arkansas State staff with John Brady for a few years, and I was talking to him once about recruiting. And he said, you think about it for basketball. We don't recruit anybody that's not a big scorer. Everybody scores, and then you get here, and your job may not be to score. Your job may be to get 8 rebounds a night or to just play defense as hard as you can for 7 minutes or maybe an energy guy. He said, you recruit all these people who can score, but when they get here, their role may change completely. Now, some guys, you say, keep scoring. Other guys, that's not their job anymore. I thought that was fascinating. He said, we don't recruit anybody that doesn't score, but they get here, they may have a complete other job. I thought, man, I never looked at it that way.
Yeah. Well, I definitely agree with that point. And I mean, that's kind of that's what happens when you go to just at every level, Mickey, that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, your role continues to change as you go along. As I keep telling, I was a great running back, but I would, eventually, as long as you play both sides of the ball and you move and just go where the least resistance, you'll be in the right spot. I believe that all day long. And then sometimes, you know, a lot of that stuff is you don't know the development of these young guys and how much better they're going to get. Some guy could be a 5-star and then just never develop to the speed of the game. He just never adjusts when he gets to college. He was good. You know, he started, but he wasn't the guy we thought he was going to be, you know, and then that kind of goes at every level. I'm not surprised at all that was a thought process. And they get it wrong, but that's all a guessing game. On both sides of it, you know, what your projection may be.
No doubt. The big guessing game, too, the NFL draft. Our guy Buck Rising is coming up next. We'll get into draft. We'll get into all sorts of Titans and NFL topics with him. He joins us every Friday, and that's coming up next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Saturday night's All Right for Fight, and Friday afternoon is All Right for Buck Rising, who joins us now courtesy of our friends at Two Rivers Ford. Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople, making your dreams come true over there. Buck, let's start with this. You've been fired up all week, well, at least however many days, about the reaction to Trevor Lawrence's comments. And Blaine and I mean, we roll through a couple hours a day, and we kind of get through. We haven't even had time to talk about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I may have mentioned it one day, but we've had Titan stuff, other stuff we've been covering. But it was interesting to see the reaction to him. He talked about not having a chip on his shoulder. And then there were people in his life. His dad said, he's not, I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. And his high school coach said, there's no doubt about it with who he is as a person. He could walk away from it tomorrow and be fine. And the reactions to that were interesting. But you've kind of taken it, run with it this week.
It's just stupid. It's just for all of the things that I've seen Justin Fields get dragged for, the fact that Trevor Lawrence, and it's nothing against Trevor Lawrence. Like, I am so down for athletes who have a platform and want to have outside interests other than football or whatever the sport it is that they play. I want them to feel comfortable talking about these things. But Trevor Lawrence goes out there and is universally celebrated in a way that any other prospect, be they quarterback or otherwise, would get absolutely smacked in the mouth for. The entire conversation around Josh Rosen when he was coming through the pre-draft process was, oh, how much does this guy really love football? This guy is not, he doesn't come from a background that would require him to struggle and like fight through adversity and all these things. He comes from a well-off family, yada, yada, yada. And yet Josh Rosen's career, submarine for a great many reasons, none of them having to do with he has outside interests other than football. So outside of just doing, you know, white quarterback says things about outside interest, black quarterback does anything and gets immediately dragged for them, outside of doing that as the analysis, which is basically what happened to Justin Fields, it's stupid and it's as clear and obvious as anything throughout the course of the evaluation process as there has been. I just don't understand why with Trevor Lawrence, when this stuff happens, Trevor Lawrence is the, you know, outside of the long locks, why it is that everybody else thinks that he walks on water this way. I don't understand it.
I saw one suggestion. Somebody said maybe it's, you can take this how you want, maybe it's because of he's viewed as having this most supreme level of talent. He's head and shoulders the number one pick in the draft. That maybe it's because, you know, he can get away with it just because people realize at this point, it doesn't matter what he said, the Jags are going to take him number one overall.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, none of it matters. Nothing that we've been doing outside of what the NFL facilities are doing and the NFL teams are doing over the course of this last, what, month and a half, 2 months? None of this stuff actually matters. The guys are going to get drafted where the guys get drafted, unless there's something that happens, like with an Isaiah Wilson, where you see a bunch of teams take him off their draft boards for whatever reason, late in the process, and then, you know.
Shame there wasn't one more.
Yeah, the team that's left holding the bag, literally, is the team that ends up taking him, and it flames out. So, there are situations like that, and always will be, of course, but largely this is just things that we're looking to, not that we're looking to create conversation out of, but that there's so little else to talk about until the draft actually gets here that we create conversation out of it.
Buck Rising on from, his show, Buck Rising, that's here on 104.5 The Zone daily before us. Also, A to Z Sports, he joins Blaine and Mickey.
Yeah, Lucas, we got a caller? Yeah, go to the caller, Paul.
Wants to weigh in on this particular thing we're talking about. Paul, welcome in. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I appreciate it. I think I could, Trevor Lawrence, I think he's been winning since he's been there at Clemson. He's got the mobility. He's got the arm, athleticism. He's a winner. And I don't know. Brian Hoyer is the only quarterback that I know of from Ohio State that's ever done any good in the NFL.
He went to Michigan State.
Hoyer did? All right. Well,
all right, Paul,
no,
man, get out of here.
There's no Ohio State quarterback.
Maybe he's thinking it wasn't that Bobby Hoying who was an Ohio State guy. Mike Tomczak, there you go. Ohio State quarterback.
What the hell kind of analysis was that? That's why what kind of, listen, Paul, I'm sure you're a lovely person. I don't, you know, it's not that I think you're stupid because you said something stupid, but you're displaying the behavior of someone who is stupid when you come to the table with that. Like, what is that? What am I going to do with that? Brian Hoyer at Ohio State.
What you were going
to
do with it.
That's about as much as I can do with that. Thank you for your analysis, Paul. Goodness.
Oh, man. All right.
What else, Blaine?
And away we go.
We're on with Buck Rising from the Buck Rising Show.
Unbelievable.
And naturally, so we're going to stay down this lane.
Yeah.
There's two questions that always stand out. And this one's probably an obvious one is, has anyone asked you anything about the IR yet? Or is it forbidding forever?
Oh, no. It's going to happen until the end of time. It's how, you know, it's I'm going to go to my grave answering questions about, you know, fringe Titans players being put on IR and when they can return for the postseason push. It's already happening with Bud Dupree, given that we don't know at what point he will be ready for the season, even though he is saying to people that he will be ready for the season. I'm sure as soon as the next rehabilitation video circulates of Bud Dupree doing workouts as he works his way back from an ACL, that my IR curse is going to continue to plague my Twitter mentions.
Yeah. Well, this is the one I get every time I'm out. It's kind of majority. It's not the, you know, every time, but it's a lot of people. So I only recall it maybe because it's funny.
Yeah.
And that's because they say, why does Buck kiss Coach Vrabel's you-know-what all the time?
Isn't there a promo running on our station? People keep telling me there's a promo running on our station
of Vrabel
congratulating on my new job, which makes me look like even more of a kiss.
It's running.
That's exactly it. Maybe
butt
that's kisser. Why they think that. Yep. I don't know. I'm like, but dang, why are they saying that?
Well, here's what I would say, because I don't think it's – Because I understand why fans – I really do. I understand, like, to take this question seriously, I understand why fans get upset with media because they don't hear the kind of passion from the media that fans have with the questions, right? So when fans get upset about Shane Bowen being made the defensive coordinator and the media, who is the go-between, the middleman between team and fan – doesn't come with the same intensity at Vrabel or Robinson or whomever about Shane Bowen, then they say, why are you being so soft on them? Well, it's not my job to yell at Mike Vrabel. I'll ask your question. We'll ask it politely. Hey, Mike, how are you doing today? Thanks for doing this. Why did you feel justified in promoting Shane Bowen? But because I'm not screaming like an idiot on Twitter in my mentions when, you know, the Tennessee Titans give up yet another third down, then people think that you're a butt kisser or whatever you want to, whatever is FCC safe for me to say, Lucas, stay close to the dump button. It's Friday and I'm tired. So I understand why fans have that kind of perception, but also, like, it's not my job to get emotional about your football team. My job is to ask the question. They can give us whatever answer we want or they want, and we can follow up on that answer. But, like, don't be surprised when I'm not sitting here as upset as you are, because it's not my job to be a fan of the Tennessee Titans. My job is to ask the questions.
Good job, man. We're on with Buck Rising from the Buck Rising Show, and I guess we'll move on to everybody's talking about the draft. And actually, I love to ask you your two. But first of all, what position group, regardless of anything that happens, do you really want them to draft?
So I don't think they have a starting tight end right now. I mean, they do technically have a starting tight end right now. It's Anthony Firkser. If you go look at, like, the unofficial depth chart on TennesseeTitans.com, but for me, they need a player who can give them more use on the field. It's not like Firkser doesn't have usefulness. Obviously, he's a hugely productive player in the passing game. He's hugely efficient on third downs. He works really, really well out of the slot. But also, there are limitations to Anthony Firkser's game. There's a reason he's bounced around the league, undrafted rookie free agent when he came into the NFL. And he's on a one-year deal. So that, to me... And obviously he was tendered, so it's a little different than being like an unrestricted free agent. But there is a lot there that leaves you wanting more, essentially, from that position. Given that the players on your roster right now at that position are Anthony Firkser, Jeff Swaim, and then Jared Pinkney, who was a who was given a futures contract after really not doing anything with the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, Vanderbilt fans familiar with Pinkney. So I need to see them find a starting tight end, because that to me.
So in the first round, you're taking a tight end.
No, Blaine. I'm just saying in general. First round, I don't care what. I honestly, and this may sound offensive, but outside of quarterback or running back, I don't care what position they take in the first round. I want them to take the best player that's left on their board that's not a player that plays the same position as Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry, because those are the two things that I think are most decided out of anything on this football team. Anywhere else, find talent.
Well, what did you think, Buck? We're on with Buck Rising, naturally, of the the Clowney signing. And did he kind of throw the tape under the bus?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure he did. But he also kind of, you know, Blaine, I heard you talking about this yesterday, and I thought this was a really, really important point to be made, because there are so many people like me or Lucas, right, where it's a generational difference between how we look at athletes and how athletes used to come to the table with how they did their job, right? You were citing Eddie George, mm-hmm. the kind of toughness that he displayed mm-hmm. playing throughout, you know, whatever injuries that Eddie was dealing with.
Yeah.
You yourself, many of your teammates, Steve McNair, obviously the best example of this here locally for all of the things that he dealt with and still found a way to perform. On Sundays, Clowney essentially said, yeah, I shut it down because I didn't want to make my knee worse because he wanted to get paid again. I mean, paraphrasing, but like that was basically what we were hearing. You know, Clowney gets to do largely what Clowney wants to do, or handles himself how Jadeveon Clowney wants to handle himself. And he was, they're not going to mandate him to stay on the field or around the team after he gets injured. But what Clowney said was, yeah, I wanted to make sure that I was right when it came time to hit free agency again. And so he essentially did not play through the meniscus tear that it was reported that he was dealing with. So, yes, he did throw the Titans under the bus, but he also outed himself in a way that if he's comfortable doing mm-hmm. it, that's fine. You know, he's playing for a contract. He's playing for contracts, not necessarily playing for what most people consider to be the ultimate goal, obviously the Super Bowl.
Well, with Buck Rising and Buck Rising from A to Z Sports.
Buck, you've been a big trade back guy. And I noticed one night this week on primetime, you got into the look, they can do it for a lot of reasons, but they should really think about doing it for financial reasons at this point.
So this is not an idea that I can take credit for organically. In fact, the man lounging on the studio couch to my right, as I sit here, the casting couch, as we've begun to call it here at 104.5 The Zone, Rhett Bryan. Rhett Bryan, incredibly helpful on a variety of different fronts, but we were talking about, you know, how it's a much, much smaller piece of this, right? Because the money that you might save trading out of the first round to get more second rounders, it's not necessarily going to be overwhelming. You're not going to save, just to throw a figure out there, you're not going to save $5 million by trading out of the first round, right? But when you're looking to create additional capital or draft cap, no, I shouldn't say draft capital because that's draft picks, but when you're looking to create additional flexibility under the cap, how can you find ways in the margins to create maybe minimal changes, but when you're in playing under a salary cap like they are right now, can you save yourself a little bit more money by not drafting a player in the first round? Given where they're drafting right now in the first round and how these draft picks are slotted, it's a little difference. Obviously, top five makes a lot more than top 22 for the purposes of the Tennessee Titans. But there are ways to save yourself money by looking for ways to trade out in that regard. Again, nothing overwhelming, but it can be a piece of something that helps you create additional salary cap flexibility before you have to look at options like extensions and restructures, because as Rhett pointed out to Lucas and I in our pre-show meeting, right now they're still going to have to do something to create additional cap flexibility before roster cutdown day, when the 53 contracts, not the top 51, count against the team salary cap across the league.
there were more teams. I was looking at this last night, and literally while I was looking, another team said they're not going to do any voluntary stuff. Let's see. Broncos, Seahawks, Lions, Bucks, Browns, Bears, Patriots, Raiders, Texans, all essentially saying they wouldn't do voluntary stuff. How do you think this ultimately gets resolved around the league?
They're going to have to find a middle ground, basically. You know, it's still voluntary, right? So none of this is overwhelmingly different. Every team, or at least the teams that have chosen to take a public stance on this, are taking a public stance in a way that you don't normally associate with that. Now, what we've kind of talked about on my show and on the primetime show throughout the course of the week is, you know, veteran players aren't interested in making life easier for rookies to come take their jobs. And what the offseason represents more than anything for the guys who need the offseason time more than anybody, it's not the vets that have been in the league 5, 10 years, however many of them last that long. It's the guys who are trying to acclimate to the speed of the game, get their bodies physically ready to perform at the NFL level, and who need more time with the coaching staffs, with their teammates at the facility, just kind of learning the new cities that they're in and understanding all of the whirlwind that comes along with being drafted into the NFL. So it matters for the rookies, largely for the vets. The vets don't want anything to do with this. They can work out on their own. Hell, NFL teams over the course of the season proved that they can do largely without practice during the season. Like the Tennessee Titans going 16 days between games, not having in-person meetings, not having in-person practices, outside of the NBA, you know, whether the players knew whether it was legal or not to have the practice.
Right.
On and on it goes. But veterans can do this without the most of the conventional stuff that NFL teams have always put into place. It's just a matter of where does the NFLPA and the NFL, who are going to have to go back and forth on this, find the middle ground to say, okay, rookies need this, maybe vets don't. How can we find a solution that makes sense for everybody instead of having teams come out like they're saying with the Bucks and the Broncos and the Lions and all of the other teams that Mickey listed? How can we find a way to do that without basically teams taking public stances on this?
Buck Rising hanging out with Blaine and Mickey here on 104.5 The Zone for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I guess lastly, Buck, before we let you roll out, what do you think that we've had a formidable superstar from the Tennessee Titans become a head coach? What would be your concern if you were Eddie George if this doesn't work, and how does this affect your legacy?
So that's an interesting question, right? Because that's really the thing that you think about with any of these guys, whether it's Deion Sanders or Eddie George, and whether a trend results from that. You know, if this fails for whatever reason, whether the financing isn't there, whether the planning isn't there, whether it be on the basis of Eddie or Deion not having any coaching experience prior to this, I think he can do positive things for the university, but ultimately he's going to be judged by the on-field product. And if the on-field product tanks, then yeah, you're looking at adding to your laundry list of accomplishments if you're Eddie George, failed college football coach, if in fact it does fail. Now, I think the risk is far less than the reward, because even if he does not help them succeed on the football field, even if he is not a coach who provides competitive advantage, whether he hires a staff that's capable of helping him do that is going to be the biggest question, obviously, now. But Eddie George can 1,000% make a difference in a lot of these young men's lives, no matter what it is, whether it's just mentorship, leadership, learning how to go about your business from a guy who is just a perfect example of how to transition from life of an athlete into what comes next. Because not everyone at TSU puts out pros, but not every one of these guys is going to end up going pro, obviously. So Eddie can have a positive impact, even if the football product doesn't live up to all of the hype that's going to come along with Eddie George being at TSU. I think there's a lot of layers to it. But yeah, I mean, you do run the risk of having that on your resume if it does flop.
Buck Rising, he's got a lot on his resume, A to Z Sports, Buck Rising Show, and of course an appearance with us every Friday right around, 1:15. So you can catch it every week. Buck, Have a great weekend, my brother, and we'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, boys. Thanks for having me. It's good to see you. Have a fantastic weekend.
You too. Phone lines are open, 615-737-1045. Ellie is on the line from Murfreesboro, wants to talk a little bit about the Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence thing, I believe, as we look ahead to the NFL draft and this quarterback situation. We'll take his call. We'll take your calls. Again, 615-737-1045. It's Blaine and Mickey. It's 104.5 The Zone. Let's talk about, like, when you walk in the door at Uncle Bud's. This is like going over to see family, right? This is what this is like. They start serving you food as soon as you're seated. This is true. Before you even ordered your catfish or your chicken or whatever you get. By the way, if you want a grilled chicken, they'll do that too. I don't want to leave anybody out. Most people go there for the fried catfish and the fried chicken. But again, whatever you want, it's your world. You're living in it. But they just start bringing you food. They just start making. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Always appreciate you listening. Appreciate you participating with the show. You can talk to us on Twitter at Blaine and Mickey or at DBishop23 or at Mickey Ryan 1045. Or I believe Lucas is just at Lucas Panzica, right? You may be the only Lucas Panzica that there is on Twitter. So you can just have your own name. Talking to Buck Rising about the draft, and he's been fired up about a lot of this quarterback stuff and what's been going on. We've got a caller, Ellie from Murfreesboro, who wanted to weigh in as well. Ellie, thank you for checking in. 615-737-1045. What you got?
I don't know why everyone's giving Justin Fields crap. I mean, he's the closest thing I've seen to Steve McNair in the past 20-something years. He's accurate. He's even faster than McNair. He's even more refined than McNair was when he came out of the draft. He's a winner. He's a baller. He's a player. He loves to play the game. I mean, and he's not really worried about injuries. I mean, the guy plays through injuries, and that's what you want. A football player, and in the quarterback position, that's so important to be able to play even when you're hurt. Thank you.
Ellie, appreciate the phone call. Blaine, evaluating quarterbacks just seems so hard. You know, remember when Jameis and Marcus came out, and you know, we all kind of wondered, okay, how's this going to go? Well, neither one of those guys are on the team that drafted him anymore. Both had some success at times, but ultimately it didn't work out. And Carson Wentz is on the Colts now. And I can't imagine, especially if you have multiple choices in a year like this. Now, Trevor Lawrence seems like the clear-cut number one. But if you got any of those other picks, I mean, all these guys have great attributes. They were all fantastic in college, you know, all of these top-level quarterbacks. So I can't imagine being at the top of the draft and having to evaluate a bunch of potential guys at quarterback and trying to make a pick, because it seems like it's been really hard for teams to pick a guy and then go and win for years and years and years with that guy.
Yeah, that's the issue. It's about, you know, what coach you go to, what system you're in, how do you develop? Is it enough time on a team that's already got a strong supporting cast? You know, people forget Big Ben was really just a handed off guy, really, at the end of the day, in the beginning of his career. And he was like, yeah, oh, yeah. I don't want him throwing yet. He's not ready. He got the big arm, but we don't know where it's going to go. You know, and then 6 years in, now he's developed and he has time, and now he carries the team. See, yep. So that's kind of how it's supposed to work out. You see gradual improvement with a solid supporting cast instead of if you're on a team that has no talent. Now, I think the Jaguars have a lot of talent, untapped talent, just got to be coached a little bit better. They were tough. They got some pretty good players. Development is always key in the National Football League, because some guys are just happy where they're at, and then some other guys are going to try to continue to grow and get better in their game, even when you get to the NFL. So that's the unpredictable part, and you know, and see how who reads the field, who picks up the system, and then discipline and get the ball out of the clock, but also can you prolong the play? I mean, there's a lot of different things. And does that play a part in our system and his development? Like Jackson, you know, last year, 2 years ago, he won MVP. And then last year you go, he was he's really good. He needs to understand how to throw the ball from the pocket. And then right. You let your actual talent take over at that point in time. But I think they're slowly trying to get him, you know, this right system. That way he can continue to grow as an elite passer and reading defenses. He's got a good arm. But it's about the processing of information fast and on point.
It's funny. We were talking we were talking about Davis Mills. His name came up the other day, the Stanford quarterback who doesn't have that many starts. Well, it seems like he's starting to jump up everybody's draft boards because remember because we looked him up. He's like 6'5 and 235 or something. That's like that prototypical deal. It seems like, especially during the draft, whether it's bad information or whether some people think they've got good information, these guys start to rise and fall. And, you know, then you got somebody like Mac Jones of Alabama who, you know, people are saying, oh, he's just a game manager. They had all this talent. They had an unbeatable system. He's just a game manager. You look at his stats, they were unbelievable, this guy. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, Blaine, because I heard a story, and I would say who told it, but I don't remember. And it was a talent evaluator and like an NFL scout, a coach. He said he'd sit down with a quarterback in a visit pre-draft. And he asked him, why'd you throw the ball away on this play? And he said, because no one was open. And he said he showed him the tight end. And he basically had, you know, a third of a step. You know, his shoulder was exposed in his hand. And he said, you need to understand, that's open at the next level. You have to understand, that's what open's going to look like. It ain't going to be open like the guy's just running alone. It's just a shade of part of him you can see. Or you're going to have to throw him open. But it's just a completely different picture even that you're seeing at the next level.
Well, because you're going to see the best athletes in the world as far as I'm concerned when it comes to football. And things are faster, they're longer, and you got to throw them open. That's really it. Don't be scared to throw because the guy's right there on his hip. Because from this angle, you got to put in a spot that the DB hopefully can't get to. And that's about the best you're going to get. Yeah, so that some guys can't uncork it. They can't. Yeah, and that's the issue. And in the biggest moments, I think Tom Brady's the guy. He just lets it fly, and he plays it like he's in the backyard of his house playing, you know, Nerf hoop or something, you know.
Yeah.
So you got to have that kind of moxie and kind of, you know, forgetfulness, but yet come back and sling it again and make that a challenge, though. That's where your competitive spirit comes from. Because you don't have to run all over the place to me to be great quarterback. All you got to do is be able to run just enough.
Yeah.
And that's at least the quarterback I would want.
No doubt. Yeah, absolutely. Hour number two coming up on the program. Again, anytime you hear us talking, you want to weigh in on something. This is your show, too. 615-737-1045. Appreciate Ellie calling, giving his perspective on this. We're going to talk some college, basically some the business of college athletics. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Terry Mahajer, who I worked with at Arkansas State, is the AD at UCF now. They did a crazy thing. They let people put their Twitter handle on the back of their jersey for the spring game, and the entire sports world is talking about it. We'll get into that. NLI, because, I mean, Florida's passed legislation. They should be good to go. Got lots to discuss. We'll do that coming up. But headlines are next, including big day for the Tennessee Vols basketball team. A favorite is returning. It's Blaine and Mickey, 104.5.